victory in stoppage time by Harrison Reeds. Wonderful strike that gave Alisson no chance. It came from a quickly taken Fulham throw. Liverpool weren't switched on. The argument would be no one closed Reed down. Take nothing away from the strike. Cody Gakpo, I can tell you, is almost in tears on the bench there. He thought he'd won it from Frimpong's cross in stoppage time. Harry Wilson opened the scoring for Fulham. A VAR intervention against his former club. Great finish. Liverpool got level. Brilliant run by Conor Bradley. Set up Florian Wirtz. Lovely finish again. The linesman said it was offside. VAR check, and it's a goal was given. Arne Slot shakes his head. He knows this is a real case of 2 points dropped. When Gakpo scores in stoppage time, he expects Liverpool to go and win it. It was a sensational strike from Harrison Reed. It really was. Yes, you could argue he should have been closed down. It's disappointing in the end, isn't it? Fulham 2, Liverpool 2.
Steve Hunter wrapping up Liverpool's 2-2 draw with Fulham at Craven Cottage down in the capital. We'll be getting the thoughts of Arne Slot and Curtis Jones here on The Reaction. I'm Becky Davis, and I was joined in the studio by Jason McAteer and Neil Mellor whilst Ray Houghton was down at the stadium for us. Plus, we've got contributions too from our fan panel consisting of Si Steers, Ryan Payton and Linga Senkor from the official Liverpool Supporters Club in San Francisco. Let's go. I think it's unfortunately quite a familiar feeling, Mels. Little to shout about in the first half, was there? But so much more about Liverpool in that second. We think Cody's won it at the death, but not to be. And another frustrating evening.
It's sickening, isn't it? It was first half wasn't enjoyable, I have to say. Didn't enjoy the first half. We didn't play particularly well. I thought it was a bit harsh that we were behind because Fulham created very little. But you wanted a reaction, and we saw the reaction at the start of the second half. I wondered at half-time if the manager might make changes, because you're thinking he might be tempted to because of how Liverpool played first half. We didn't create a great deal. But the reaction was there from the players. We got a deserved equalising goal. We'd had one disallowed just before it, Cody Gakpo. We'd hit the crossbar as well. The pressure was telling. And then we got ourselves on level terms. I have to say, when I saw the replay, I don't know what you thought, Jace, but he looked offside. And so I was a little bit worried. I didn't think it was going to be given. It was given, so that was a relief. We didn't do a great deal afterwards. I thought Fulham responded better. They hit the bar, so that was a bit of a let-off. And then when Cody Gakpo scores at the end, you're thinking, that's a big result, that. We needed that. We didn't play particularly well, but it felt like it would have been a big result away from home. And the lad puts one in the top corner from outside the box, probably once in a career moment for him to score the way he does. And it's a sickening. I feel like we've dropped 2 points. You know, when you're winning 2-1 after 94, 95 minutes, you think we've done enough. There wasn't a lot in terms of chances created. But, feel really disappointed not to have won it.
Yeah, I walked away from the game against Leeds. Obviously, we've drawn, but really disappointed with the performance. But it felt like a defeat.
Yeah.
It was just an opportunity for us. It wasn't a great spectacle. And then tonight, you know, it feels like another defeat.
But in a different way,
In a different way. You know, Mel's has summed it up really well. It wasn't a great game first half. I think it was quite inevitable. Like, you know, losing your striker, you know, you're going to lose Ekotike, no Isak. You're going to lose, you know, a big presence in that area of the pitch. And we're going to have to sort of accommodate that with what we didn't really know was whether Gakpo was going to go down the middle or Wirtz was going to. But it's quite evident, wasn't it, that it was an area which we suffered from not having a real presence in that area. It wasn't a great spectacle first half. No one really created anything. If anything, Liverpool probably on top a little bit. Good start, quick start. You could see their intentions, but quickly when they didn't score, kind of wore off a little bit. Then Fulham got back into the game, and then the goal. As soon as he scored it, Harry Wilson, who took it exceptionally well, you know, it went to VAR, didn't it? But I just felt it was onside seeing it. We kind of have an instinct, don't we? And it was like, yeah. Oh, that's closer than what you think.
You did call it.
Yeah, I think that's in. So then we go 1-0 behind. We're looking for a response. Didn't really get it. And then we get our goal. And then we go 2-1 up. And then it's like, right, lads, just shut up. We've nicked this. Because I think Marco Silva, had they been beaten, I think would have been really disappointed. I think reflection of watching the game, it probably was point shared, I think.
Yeah.
So we would have nicked it, but I would have took it, obviously, all day long. But, you know, the goal, when you look at it, I mean, it's a strike, it's a wonder strike. But I do question why we were so deep. Like I actually said to you, didn't you, when you walked in, like, why were we sitting on top of Alisson? It's kind of like we've asked him to hit it. Listen, he might hit another 50 of them, 49 might, you know, sail over the bar, but that one opportunity he gets, he takes tonight, and we run out only with a point.
It felt like they'd almost passed a big test of character to come back, if you like, and I think that's why it sticks so much, doesn't it? When you look at the stats from this season, this is only the second point won in the Premier League from coming behind. This was the second one after Sunderland. 8 out of 20 league games, conceded the first goal and lost 6 of them. Had this been a win and it was so close, Mels, it would have been such a significant win, wouldn't it?
Yeah, we haven't done that enough. I think that's been something we've struggled with. But the reaction was there at the start of the second half, you know, where you're thinking, if you know, Fulham get the second goal, we're getting nothing from this game. But the reaction was there. Obviously, Gakpo was offside initially for his goal disallowed. McAllister hits the bar, and did Gakpo hit the post the first half? You're thinking, is it one of those days? But then when we got the equaliser, I actually thought we could have really gone for them then. And then Fulham kind of got back into the game. We had the big let off when Wilson hit the bar. But yeah, I mean, that is a positive in terms of having been behind and getting something from the game. Just the disappointing thing is to have been in front so late on in the game and to have conceded. That would be hard for the lads to take, because when Gakpo scores, I think we all think we've won the game at that point, don't we?
It is a tough one to take, isn't it? I mean, as we say, if we try and look at positives, now unbeaten in 9, Jace, it maybe hasn't felt like it with some of the results and the way the games have gone, specifically the last two. But when you look back to before that West Ham game, everyone was saying, look, we just need to put a run together, stop the defeats. And they have done that. They feel quite far away from where they were at that point, but still quite far away from where they want to get to.
Listen, if you look at it on paper, you know, it reads quite well, doesn't it? You know, 1-1-1, drawn 1-1, and unbeaten, as you've just said, in what, 9 now?
Yeah.
So, it you know, that does look quite healthy. But if you look in the manner in which we've dropped points within them 9 games, and plus what's happening around you, we could have been somewhat optimistic about maybe challenging for the title. Or, you know, Man United have drawn today. It was a big opportunity. We spoke about the points dropped at Sunderland. We spoke about the points dropped at Leeds, you know, 2 promoted teams at home. You want to take maximum points against these teams. You're in a much healthier position, and you get that little gap where, you know, you might go to Arsenal and drop points, but the gap still stays there between you, United and Chelsea, you know, the chasing pack. But we've, again, it's like
it's the teams we're playing, isn't it? You say unbeaten in 9, and that sounds okay, but who've we played? The only one in that lot where you say that's a great result was Inter Milan, and Brighton at home was a good one. But was it 4 draws to Leeds twice?
Sunderland. Fulham.
To Fulham. These are teams we want to be beating. And ultimately, it's 2 points dropped against a team that are going to be mid-table, if not bottom half of the section. They're not really going to be challenging for European football. So that's where the unbeaten in 9 sounds good. But when you look, when you break it,
when you break it down,
it's not Arsenal away. It's not City away.
You've not gone to United taking points. You've not gone to Chelsea taking maximum. You've not gone to Arsenal. You're
we haven't
right.
won enough of them games. We've drawn 4 of those games where you're thinking we should have won at least 2 more of them. Mm.
It can look healthy on paper, but you know, when you do look into the minutiae of it, it's a bit like...
You were speaking pre-match about the need for a consistent performance across the 90 minutes, which we didn't really get again today. But there were echoes again in that first half of things. The boss will want to work on more urgency in the final third, especially, Jason.
Yeah, I got frustrated. It seemed to be like... pass, 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 go across, pass, back, pass, 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 pass. I'm all for keeping possession, but if it's meaningful possession, you're going to drag someone out to create something. You're going to have an overload on the left, you know, to all of a sudden switch to the right, get down the line, put a ball in. You know, test the keeper. I don't really see us testing keepers. Leeds, I think, what do we have, 19 shots and hit the target 4 times against Leeds? It's just, you're just not testing the keeper enough. Today, I don't remember Leno making too many saves or like really being in the thick of it. It's just like, it's kind of like a bit painting by numbers at the minute. I don't know whether that's team selection, it's just, you know, consistency of the players he's picking, and we're not, it's just all looks a bit disjointed.
I think a lot of the players are in front of the Fulham defenders. I'm watching it there, I'm looking at the midfield and seeing McAllister, Gravenberch, Curtis Jones. And first half, no one was really making that running behind. So Fulham could deal with that five at the back, and they're saying, well, you're not really asking enough questions off that. It was second half. I felt as though Kirk has played a lot higher second half, and Conor Bradley as well, which helped Liverpool in the final third and asked more questions of that Fulham defence. But in terms of creativity, you're missing Mo Salah, who's obviously a really creative player. Isak's injured. Ekitike wasn't available. So you're missing three attacking players who can all add something to the attack. I was made up to see Gakpo back, I have to say. I think Gakpo is a player who divides opinion at times because of his end product. But he'll give you numbers where he'll make something happen. Mm. He ends up scoring a goal, he'll create chances. First half, he's had a couple of shots. So you know you'll get some attacking creative moments out of players like that.
I think it's a really good point Mel's made, but it kind of reiterates what I went on said about before about Ekitike. And you can look at it and think, well, he's a goal threat. But Mel's makes the great point there. He's not just a threat in front of goal, puts the ball in the back of the net. He's a threat where he can go to feet, which makes a defender think, do I go with him or do I pass him on? But also in behind, he hangs on shoulders. Now, okay, Fulham, they soaked up the pressure, the initial pressure from Liverpool, and they sat a little bit deeper. So maybe that, but there was always going to be that point in the game where they were going to play a higher line. They were going to get more possession. They were going to go looking for a goal because they were at home. You know, they're going to get their own way in certain parts of the game. That's the moment where, and Ekitike, the high line's being played, he's looking to go in behind, and then you've got players in Liverpool's team that have got the ability to get him in. McAllister, Gravenberch, Shabazz, like they can all get players in behind if the space is there. But when you're not posing that threat, because Werther's going to want to go the ball, Gakpo, you know, he's going to want to come inside, he's going to want to go the ball. You've got no real threat in behind. We didn't have that today, and it was comfortable for Fulham.
Yeah, you hope he will be back for Thursday night against Arsenal, Hugo Ekitike. Let's just go to our fan panel now. We've got Si Steers, Ryan Payton and Linga Senghor. We'll come to you too, Ryan and Linga, very shortly. But Si, I'm going to start with yourself. And you look fairly dejected there, if you don't mind me saying. You probably share our feelings here in the studio.
Yeah, I've got my kitten on my lap as well, so she's distracting me. But I think what we're finding is really interesting. The guys talking about the teams we played over the last nine games. I think where we really struggle is against that low block, right? I think when teams come and sit behind us, we just don't have the pace to kind of stretch them. As much as I think Wirtz is really starting to grow into his role as a creator now. And he's obviously the guy we brought in to really kind of try and counter that style of play. But it's killing us a little bit this season. I think injuries really haven't helped us. We've obviously, you know, gone and brought in Isak and Ekitike to stretch teams. That neither have really been available together. There's a whole host of things, really. But I think when I look at the bigger picture, this season is always going to be one of transition, I think, a little bit. I think we all kind of had high hopes for the title at the start of the season. But when you bring in so many new players, I think realistically, you know, top four is really what we need to be striving for. We're starting to become harder to beat again. We're going to get players coming back. So there are positives to take, but it is difficult right now, especially when teams come and put, you know, kind of 11 players behind the ball and we've got to try and break them down.
OK, we'll move on to Ryan. Ryan, what are your thoughts? Si's tried to pluck a few positives out there. How are you feeling at the moment?
Apologies, my internet is having some terrible problems. So
there is a little bit of a delay, I can't lie, but go on, you crack on and hopefully we'll hear you all right.
It's live television, I suppose. The word that was used in the studio was a sickener, and I think, you know, when we got that late goal, I thought this might be like a little more of a happy post-match show, and then when I saw that they'd equalised on the post-match graphic, it was very hard to take. But as I was sort of alluding to there, I think one of the things that's been my big issue was when I saw the 11, I was just looking at the side and thought it was such a glaring lack of pace. And that was just evident in that first half performance, where it was just really slow. And, you know, you weren't really fancying Liverpool to score a goal, which was Liverpool over this past decade have been founded upon pace and intensity. And sort of one of my concerns is at the moment is that we've seen to be lacking in both of those quarters. So Arsenal coming up is going to be a difficult fixture. Apologies, my internet was terrible throughout that.
It's okay. I think we got the gist of what you were saying, Ryan. Thanks very much. Slinger, we'll come to you. You've been watching over in San Francisco. It was a fairly tough watch at the end. Positives to be taken from the second half, elements of that at least, though.
Oh, how come I have to do positives?
You can say what you want. Honestly, you give us your opinion. But...
Good morning, everybody. I think what I'm most struck by, positives or not, is I was first on LFC TV when Fulham beat us 3-2 and we were all kind of dejected and we were like, who's this team? What is this team? And I'm looking back and realizing we had it so good then. Those were really the good days of losing to Fulham 3-2. I think positives are we drew, but it feels like we lost. We didn't have Salah, Isak, or Wirtz. I think if we had them and still looked so dull and spiritless at moments in attacking, I'd be more worried about us. So I do think, going back to what some of you have said, not having these attackers, of course, counted against us. But again, the lack of urgency, even if players don't have pace, why aren't we playing with more urgency? It's so hard to watch, especially that first half.
Yeah, urgency, pace, that intent, Mels. Mm. We spoke pre-match, which you weren't with us for that, so I'll ask yourself, in terms of a few months ago when the mission was just to kind of shut up shop and stop the team leaking goals, they've probably adapted more of a defensive mindset. And does that bring in a bit of a fear factor? Maybe not so much today in that second half, but in games that we've seen recently where that natural instinct that we've seen so many times from this side to just get forward, there's a little bit of a hesitancy to do that.
I think possibly because of some of the results we've had this season, and one that springs to mind was Brentford away, where we got turned over down there, and you're looking at teams like Fulham who are similar and thinking we don't want the same to happen, so we sort of make it harder to beat. And I think the fans mentioned that on the panel there, saying we have been harder to beat, and that's where you talk about the 9 games unbeaten. But then you're missing something going forward with that creativity. When we played Real Madrid this year, Jace, the goalkeeper made 9 saves in the game, Courtois. Now, Real Madrid is seen as one of the top sides. We're not seeing that level of performance at the moment, and we want to see that. We saw it last season. It was brilliant to watch last season, and the fan mentioned it there, Fulham away. We went there, we basically won the league by that point. We get turned over, we accept that. Whereas at the moment, the aspirations are very different, and it's hard because we won the league last year. We want to be in a title race. We're not going to be. And when you put the graphic up there, the results, I'm not looking at Arsenal and City anymore. I'm actually looking at Villa, Chelsea and United. That's where we're at, and that is the reality. And where things improve, you need your best players fit. We don't have those available at the moment. So we may see a few more performances where it might be a cautious approach and we're not as free-flowing as attacking as perhaps we want to be.
You're talking about pace, but like, are we talking about individual pace? Because there was a lack of that today, you know, from players. The threat of pace wasn't there, but also the pace and when you have the ball as a team, as a collective, the way you move the ball, the quickness of the move the ball, you know, the type of pass that you're playing. Is it going to be a laboured pass? Is it just going to be one that's just dollied into players? Is it going to be fizzed in? Is it going to be one touch round the corner, pace, bang, get it down, play, you know, quick throw-ins, quick free kicks, the quickness of thought, the quickness, pace, playing pace with your mind, you know, playing pace with the way you want to dictate the game. It's sometimes you can let the opposition dictate the tempo and the pace and you get into that flow and it's just all, because they were a bit the same, it was just all pass and it was all quite nice and it was out the other side and then it was across. I mentioned it before, you know, if you're going to play a pace, get an overload, get balls in the box. So you get an overload on the left, you play down the left, you a little 1-2, and then all of a sudden you switch it out to the right. Quick ball right across, and then you go in one-on-one. You get a one-on-one situation then. And then the players we've got, you'd expect the quality we've got for, you know, for maybe a Frimpong. I mean, we've seen it when he come on. That was the best 10 minutes of the game, wasn't it? When he came on and it was just back, back, back. We got it out to Frimpong and he puts 2 fantastic balls in, doesn't he? And we score from one. So, you know, we're just not at it at the minute. It's kind of like we don't want to give it away because we don't want to commit. Like, you know, like players don't want to give it away and be, you know, blamed for you know, it's kind of safe. We're kind of playing safe football. And you don't play that at
potentially
pace.
Potentially because of a lack of confidence.
Yeah. There's a confidence thing in it.
It's so important.
We're Real Madrid. It's like the handbrake was off. It was like nothing to lose. It's Real Madrid, glamorous game, big game. Let's just everybody just play to our maximum. We all want to play in these games. It's a great. The adrenaline would have been pumping, and you get a spectacle, and you also get a performance, and that is pace. That is a game played at pace. Hence what Mel said. You make Courtois make 9 saves.
I don't think the players will be enjoying it as much. You know, I know the fans aren't enjoying it at the moment with this current run of results. In terms of we're not blowing teams away the way there's an expectation is that we would do. Whether it's the fact that key players are missing, whether it's the fact it's a relentless schedule, whether it's because the opposition it's a low block and you're trying to find that opening goal and we're struggling to do that, but it's just that period in the season where it's one of those times. But the players will want to get back to those performances where they're enjoying themselves, where they feel a little bit more freedom, a little bit more confidence. I mean, being inside Anfield, and you were there the other night against Leeds, you could feel sort of the nervousness, sort of the panic. It's 0-0 at home, and we want to get the winning goal, and haven't seen that for a long time in this Liverpool side.
The way transition was used, and I've come to agree with this now. I think when you bring so many good players, talented players in that are going to go into the team, you're going to have a transitional period, and it's going to take time for these players to bed in. Now, they all need to play week in, week out, and you can go through a period where there's an understanding or a misunderstanding or you're not quite knowing each other, but you'll come through that. And the more you train, the more you get to know each other in the dressing room and personalities, but on the pitch as well, you know where the player wants it, you know where he's got to go. I played in a Liverpool team where I didn't second guess things. I just knew where Steve McManaman was. I just knew where Robbie wanted it. When Michael Owen came in the team, he just wanted it over the top. I knew Jamie was alongside me, and you, Mark Wright was behind me. You just get it. You look up and they're there, bang. Yeah. And if they're not there, you create something and then something will happen. And that's what it's like. Now I'm looking at like maybe Gakpo getting it and Kerker's going on the overlap thinking, why are you going on the overlap? Or Frimpong running inside and Ekitike's kind of stood still, not knowing if he's going to lay it into him or he needs to find a way down the channel because he's going to slip him in. It's they're all second guessing each other at the minute, and it's just not flowing.
Yeah,
there's no flow to it.
There's a lot of different relationships that are being built, and we are seeing that they are coming along, but in different areas of the team. Yeah. And that
Jason Spotton. Jason Spotton has mentioned the new signings, but also the players that have been there, the likes of Cody Gakpo, the likes of McAllister, who had great success. What a season it was last year, and they were big parts of that. And now they're developing that new understanding, that new relationship where it's different. It is different. Mm. Not just the new players coming, but players that they had that relationship with. The likes of Diaz, the likes of Trent Alexander-Arnold. Players who they had, like Nunes as well at times, obviously Diogo. So it is maybe taking longer than what we would have liked.
Yeah.
And
it doesn't help to keep... We keep changing the team, though, does it? For one reason or another, whether it's injury, whether the...
Sometimes you've got to help it with injuries. Though,
sometimes you can't help it. And, you know, I'm certainly not digging the manager out for that because that's not in his control.
We expected changes today because it came so quickly on the back of that Leeds game. Was it Thursday?
They're to be expected when you got this fixture list congestion. But I agree with Matt. It's just taking longer than what it should do or what it is.
OK, hopefully some reaction from the Liverpool dressing room is on the way. But we are heading back down to Craven Cottage now and get the thoughts of Ray Houghton. He's with Matt Smith.
Well, Becky, we'll try and make some sense of the four-goal thriller that we've just witnessed here as it gets colder, but it was a hot finish to a game that started quite tamely, right?
Yeah, it did. I thought Liverpool started the better of the two, and then obviously Fulham got the goal.
Yeah.
And then they took advantage of that. Liverpool started off Fulham a little bit. Second half started much better.
Yes.
We looked a much better team when we played it quickly and got balls over the top and got in behind the back line of Fulham. And then we got the equaliser, and you were thinking, yeah, it might run out at 1-1. And then later on, Cody gets the second goal. Brilliant ball in from Frimpong. The defender goes for it, the goalkeeper's beaten, and there was Cody reacting to it to make it 2-1. And actually, I must be honest, I thought, that's it.
Yeah.
And then the throw-in goes to Reid, and then I'm honestly thinking, shoot, from where he was, because he's quite a distance out. He'll never hit a better shot of that in his life.
No.
There's not many that could do what he did in the end, because that is flown into the top corner. Yeah. I mean, no keeper in the world's going to save that. Emphatic strike from him. 2-2. He looked like it was a game you're going to win, and then he looks like, you know, you're ending up with just a point. I think the lads will be disappointed they didn't do a little bit better coming out to close down.
Yeah.
We just made a change before that. Cody had gone off, and I don't know if the players were, you know, really in the knowledge of where they should have been. And so it was just a little bit from that point of view, erratic. But the ending was just a bit crazy, a bit like the game at times.
Well, yeah, indeed. And I wonder whether, now that the dust settles a little bit, is a point a fair reflection? I mean, it'll feel like a bit of a lost couple of points to Liverpool.
Well,
at the
I think both managers say there was periods in the game where they were on top, they were the better side. But when you're 2-1 up with seconds to go in the game, you should see it out. You know, you've got to be mentally prepared for something that they might do. And no one coming close out reads. That would be the disappointment. Everyone sat, they're all looking and anticipating the long throw into the box. They went short and no one's reacted to it. And I think that will disappoint Arna, that no one came out to get a block in, try to impose themselves on Reid, not to give him a free strike at goal. Even when he hits it, you know, you're not expecting it to go in the manner where it did.
I don't think he's expecting.
No, I mean, look at the reaction of the Fulham players, Reid himself and all the fans in the stadium. They couldn't quite believe it. I'm sure at that stage they were thinking it was going to be a Liverpool victory with that late goal from Cody Gakpo.
I mean, it's a point, and it's 9 games unbeaten, but it's a point, whilst disappointing and frustrating, that probably feels a lot better than the one on New Year's Day at home to Leeds.
I think so. But with the personnel and the changes, you know, the dynamic of the team had to change today because we didn't have an out-and-out striker. You know, you're playing players in different positions where they're not really used to, if you like, and, you know, they've got to adapt to it, and I thought they adapted well enough. Just want to see it playing more quickly. I think that's the essence when Liverpool play well, is when they play slowly, the opposition get into defensive positions and then it's very difficult to break them down. When we play quick and play balls in behind, we look a different team, a different proposition. And on Thursday against Arsenal, we're going to have to be like, not only disciplined defensively, but when we get the opportunities to break quickly, we've got to play the ball into the right areas.
Yeah. Another positive might be another goal for Florian Wirtz, who's just starting to find his feet in that sense, and quite an impressive performance from Conor Bradley at right back.
I thought Conor was outstanding. 1-1 mark, and he was very, very good. Good on the ball, broke out from defence well. I mean, when he set up Florian's goal, lovely move. And when initially we were both thinking he should have shot, but he played the right ball. And, you know, VAR today came up twice, didn't it? Once for Fulham. The Wilson goal, and then obviously with the goal for Florian, it made it 1-1. So it was a strange game. It really was. I really thought Liverpool were going to get the 3 points, and then lo and behold, Reid comes up with an absolute worldie to make it 2-2.
Yeah, it does extend that unbeaten run, but they will know themselves. He doesn't need us to tell them. They'll need to be better still at Arsenal.
Yeah, well, now it's about recovery.
Yeah,
and it's about getting back people back if you can to fitness, and hopefully you've got a stronger squad to put out in the game against Arsenal. Obviously Arsenal, they're in the ascendancy at the moment, they're playing well, they're picking up good results, so it's going to be a fascinating game.
2-2 at the end of a very big Coke day in West London.
Yeah, both of them are very well wrapped up down there at Craven Cottage, aren't they? We are actually going to head straight back down there because they were the thoughts of Matt and Ray a few minutes ago. Since then, Matt has been in the Liverpool dressing room, he's caught up with Curtis Jones.
Curtis, I guess mixed feelings, I imagine, after that slightly mad ending.
Yeah, 100%. I thought that in the first half that we had the ball a lot, that we tried it and come off as much. At half time, we spoke about that, that I've got to show more heart and all things like that. And that's what we went and done. We've came back with 2 goals, and then they go and score a goal like that. You know, it's hard to take, but fair play to the lad who goes and takes the shot.
It's a point like New Year's Day, but I imagine it in some ways it feels like a better point, doesn't it, than the 0-0 at home?
Yeah, I know. I mean, you know, if you're giving away a lead, especially at a time like this when we need all our points, you know, it's always hard. But as you said then, I definitely think that there's a better game all round than the Leeds game, 100%. But as I said, you know, I just want to come away with all 3 points. That's what we're always trying, especially like a team like this. You know, it doesn't matter if we're playing against any team away, for the talent on the pitch and all things like that. Yeah, I feel that we should go and win games like that.
Yeah. Obviously, that's a shuffle, again, in terms of who played where today. Did that affect where you played and the job you had to do today?
Yeah, 100%. I've been playing as an 8. Now I played more as a winger slash 10. But yeah, it's one of them, you know. At the end of the day, I just want to go and play. I want to go and help the team. I've been used as a fullback. I've been used off the right. I've been used as a 10, 8, a 6, and 9. As long as I'm there and I can help the team, that's what I'll try and do. And yeah, as I always say, you know, if I look left and right in the changing rooms, I always see the talent around. So a lad who's going to come in and play 8, he's never going to be a downgrade, anything like that. You know, he's always, you know, I'd never say that he's better than me, but you know, he will always have a quality, but in a different way of what the team needs. But yeah, you know, again, you know, we made the change. We tried to bring all the lads in available, and it just weren't quite enough. But we'll go again.
Yeah, and it is 9 unbeaten to take to Arsenal later in the week, isn't it? Which is a big one.
Yeah, it's a big one, but all games are big, and I've said already, especially like now when we need all our points. But Arsenal's a huge, huge game. They're on a great run. Obviously, the top of the league. And of course, the first game that they played against us that we obviously won. So they'll be trying to get a revenge on us. So yeah, we're going there with our heads high, and we're going to try and win.
Appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Yeah, it is a big one against Arsenal on Thursday night. It would have been great to go into that game, Jace, with a big confidence-boosting win today. Sadly, not to be, but probably one of the toughest fixtures this season heading our way.
Yeah, for as good as a last-minute winner can be, where the dressing room is buzzing and there's a bit of a bounce, you know, to get sucker-punched in the 97th minute, obviously for it to run out of draw, it can feel like a loss, and the dressing room, they'll be down. So this is where the manager needs to, like, you know, earn his crust and say the right things, get a bit of life into the boys and a better belief. But I looked at the league table, and we were talking, me and Mel's off camera there. You know, if you think of the points we should have collected against the likes of the Sunderland and the Leeds, we should be 8 points better off when you think. And that puts you so much closer to Arsenal and takes you away from Man United. And, you know, there would have been a real optimism that you could still challenge for the title, but it's not to be. And, you know, we go down to the Emirates now off the back of these two results with players missing. Hopefully Ekitike can come back, because I think he can cause a problem. But I don't think anyone is really suggesting that Liverpool can go there and get anything. I still wouldn't rule them out as taking a draw. I think Liverpool could still score, still do some damage. And if the ball runs their way and they get a bit of luck, possibly get a result. But at the minute, the Arsenal tails are up. It was a good result against Bournemouth the other night. You know, they're in prime position. They won't want to let anything slip. And for them to lose the game to Liverpool, or even draw, will be a slip-up by Arsenal. So
it's a chance for them to make a statement as well, isn't it? You know, the fact that they're going so well in the league table, we know the position they're in. Only really City, could you say Villa are chasing them, maybe at the moment, long term I'm not sure. So it's a chance for them to say we want to be champions, and who better to try and do it against on Thursday than the current Premier League champions ourselves. I mean, what I would say, since we beat them in August, and it wasn't a great game, but Solskjaer's won now, there wasn't much in that. It feels like there is now at the moment.
You know,
you look at the size of the gap, the confidence, they're absolutely flying. The Emirates, they've played 10 times, they've won 9 games, they drew 1 game, they're unbeaten. They don't lose games. That's the thing. You look at them and think, as much as people made out that we spent money, Arsenal spent a lot of money in the summer on starters, not just squad players as well. There's a few starters that came in there to add to what they had already. We lost a few players, they didn't lose anybody, so they've strengthened, they've spent a lot of money, they've been second year after year, and they've got a real chance this year to go on and win it. And for them, they'll be trying to make a statement on Thursday.
We'll head back to our fan panel and give them a little word on this. Si, I'll come to you first. No bones about it, really. Liverpool are going to have to dig very, very deep at the Emirates to come away with something.
Yeah, it's weird. I think you say that, and I think the guys touched on the Real Madrid game earlier this season. I think against the likes of Arsenal, United, teams that come and want to play us and take us on, they're not just going to sit back and try and hit us on the break. We tend to do slightly better, so I'm a little bit more optimistic in those kind of games. I think what Arsenal have got that we haven't this season is they've nailed set pieces. You look at how many goals they score from set pieces, it's ridiculous. I mean, and let's be honest, they're not a great watch, Arsenal. And I don't mean that disrespectfully, but they're not a brilliant team to watch. They score a lot of goals from set pieces. So I think it might be closer than we think against Arsenal, and I give us a bit more of a chance because I think they'll let us play. I think Wirtz will have more space. I think if Ekitike's back, he can stretch them. So yeah, I'm probably slightly more optimistic than maybe some of the others.
Okay, that's good. We like that. Ryan, do you share Si's optimism there?
Yeah, now that I've got better signal, I hope, yeah, I do. But but I'm in a very dark room now. I agree with Si. I think Liverpool this season have struggled when teams have sat deeper against them. So when they're playing against a sort of a side with a higher reputation and who are going to take the game to Liverpool, I think Liverpool will rise to the occasion. One thing that does worry me about Liverpool against this Arsenal side, especially, is just that first half performance that happened against Fulham cannot happen against Arsenal, because Arsenal is such a physical side that if we put in that sort of tame, a bit limp performance, I think we will get completely overawed by Arsenal. So we need to be the aggression that we've shown in the first 15 minutes of that second half when we got the, you know, our first goal. That needs to be from the first whistle against Arsenal. Otherwise, we will get overawed by them.
Lingo, what about yourself? They are in, of course, formidable form down at the Emirates. They're unbeaten. They've won 9 Premier League games, only drawn 1, conceded just 5 goals at home in the Premier League. It's going to be a tough ask. How hopeful are you feeling?
Well, I didn't need to hear all those stats.
I'm sorry.
I honestly feel pretty confident. I think having Hugo back, I hope we start Frimpong. I just think the whole game felt different when he was there. I'm going to be honest, it quite stings to me that we're playing a team who's really going for the title. And even as the eternal optimist, that's not really us. But I want us to play with urgency, with pride. You know, we're going to their home. I wouldn't be upset if we got a draw or anything, but I'm feeling confident. I like hearing from Curtis because I think he's a player who feels the sting or feels it as much as I do as a fan. And I think that the players will be up for it. I really hope they are. We'll see after that first half.
Okay, we've got quite an optimistic fan panel heading into that game with Arsenal at the Emirates. We'll see how it pans out on Thursday. Let's cross back over now to the stadium to hear from the boss. Arne Slot has been speaking at his post-match press conference.
I think if you are not part of Liverpool, you don't follow us every game, then you think you win it. But unfortunately, I'm experiencing this for months now, that the first chance the other team gets and the only chance they got in the first half led to a goal. And that's one thing we usually see with us. And the second thing we see a lot is that the other team scores a goal you don't expect in extra time. So yeah, is it then a surprise?
Yeah. And you must have, you showed great resilience, didn't you, to kind of make it 2-1. You must have thought at that point.
No, I think we showed great resilience from the start. If you miss out on so many attacking options and you come here against Fulham, and they're a good team, having good ideas about football, and we hardly conceded a chance against them. I think they had one other chance in the second half when we maybe messed it up a little bit ourselves when they had a chip on the bar. But for the rest, I think we controlled the game. And yes, I would love us to create more from our ball possession. I can tell you this, my philosophy of football hasn't changed this year compared to all the seasons I was a manager before. But we have to do it with the players that we are available. And I think today 11 very good football players were on the pitch. Maybe not all of them in their normal position. But in the first half, they controlled the game. Just before they scored, we had exactly the same chance from Cody Gakpo, which went on the other side of the post. And in the second half, 2 disallowed goals, 2 goals scored, a header on the bar. So things to like. But the result is again not what we may deserve. Question mark.
It's an unbelievable strike for the equaliser, but were your players guilty of dropping too deep?
Nope.
No one within 10 or 15 yards of it could hit it.
Yeah. That is true, but we've conceded throw-ins and set pieces quite a lot this season. So we have a certain setup which the players did, and if the long throw comes in, I think we had the box very well covered. And ideally, indeed, when then they don't take it long, we come out earlier and faster. But you have to give credits to that incredible strike as well, because what are the odds that a ball from over there go in? I don't think a lot. I think XG-wise, this is not a big chance. But we do concede. We made an offensive substitution to win the game. We're bringing Federico Chiesa in, and then a few times this season we kept it like it was, and then we concede against Leeds, and then you ask yourself, should we have brought in an extra defender? Now we brought in, the moment we conceded the throw in, Joe Gomez, who was really good in the air for a long throw. But they took it short, and we were underloaded over there. But again, I don't think you see these goals being scored a lot. So you have to give credit to the player as well.
I mean, at half time, it sort of felt like you weren't creating anything in the first half.
We were not creating
anything. First half, yeah.
Okay.
Did you actually change anything, or was it just a case of going more direct?
I don't completely agree with you, but. It's not that we had chance after chance, that's obvious, but I see a lot of football. When we went in here, I saw a game of football, hardly a chance in from both ends in the first half. This is how the Premier League usually works. I think more in the second half becomes a bit more open, and there's more chance, more moments where you create chances, so we're not the exception to that. I think we had a few good moments in the first half where we were close to creating, or we did create. I can remember a cross where Curtis Jones was close to scoring it. I can remember a shot from Cody Gakpo deflected and a one-on-one to the goalkeeper for Cody Gakpo. I would love to create more, but if you play with the amount of midfielders we play and with one attacker against 5-4-1 of Fulham in an away game, I don't know if you can expect then us creating chance after chance, but overall I think we've created enough chances to win the game, and we did very well by limiting them to maybe one and a half chance. But the end result is 2-2, and that's where it's about in football.
With the changes you made to the team and the system since the really bad run when you felt like losing every game, you obviously maybe stopped a leak at the back, but creativity is maybe gone. Do you agree with that? And how hard is it to find that balance between?
Do you think so? Do you think we created more when we were conceding more chances? I wonder if that's true. But like I said, I would love to create five times as much chances as we do now and not concede a chance at all. But I do know in the period of time when we were playing maybe either with different players or more open, that I don't think we created that many chances, but we conceded much more. And unfortunately, we don't concede a lot at the moment in terms of chances, but goal-wise, maybe not a lot has changed. But like I said, I didn't change as a manager. I would love to play with eight attackers, if that's possible, defensively as well. But if those eight attackers don't defend enough, then it's hard to win a game of football. But we don't have eight attackers, so that's not possible.
Did Ekati get travelled? And where to you imagine his minutes taken off? And just guess the same for Mpong as well.
Yeah, yes and yes. So yes, he travelled because he felt something during the training session, so he went for an MRI scan, and we got the result when we were flying. So we were hoping that it was just a bit of DOMS, I think you call it DOMS in this country, which he also had. Why? Because we are... Alex has been out, and since Alex is out, he doesn't play 70 minutes or 60 minutes, or sometimes gets a bit of rest. He has to play 80 or 90 minutes every single game for the first time in his life at Premier League level, for the first time in his life without a winter break, for the first time in his life at Champions League level. So not a surprise that he then gets a bit tired and gets DOMS, and we were hoping it would have only been DOMS, then we could have used him maybe as a sub. But unfortunately, we saw a little bit more, and then you cannot take a risk. Florian had the same last week. When we put him in an MRI scan, and then it was only DOMS, so he didn't had anything. But he's also for the first time experiencing this program, and if I don't have that many players, I would like the ones that I do have available and play them as many minutes as can as possible. But realistically, and I think that's what I tried to do today.
Yeah, a mixture of positives and still a few negatives to take from today. We roll on to Arsenal. The guys were fairly optimistic there on the fan panel, Jase. I mean, what is Liverpool's best chance of getting something at the Emirates?
Listen, individually, Liverpool are extremely talented. There's a lot of quality in that team. It just hasn't clicked yet. You know, that day will come. The more work you do, the more confidence you get, the better relationships are forged. You know what you're doing. It will come in time. They're too good of individuals and for that not to happen. It's just got to come collectively. I never rule Liverpool out of any game. I mean, we did against Real Madrid and look what happened. And, you know, I just think the occasion, the fact that Arsenal will come and play, you know, there's Ekitike I would like back on the pitch because he will stretch them. And that changes the dynamic of the whole team selection because I think Frimpong comes in. Szoboszlai can play in that 10. Wirtz might get rested. I don't know. It just depends on who's fit and what the team selection is. That will give me more optimism than not.
I think belief. Believe we can go there and do it. We've had some big results this season. We've beaten Atletico. We've beaten Real Madrid. We've beaten Arsenal as well. We are capable, but we need to take them chances when they come along, and we're going to have to defend well because Arsenal are playing well. Mm.
That is it for this episode of The Reaction. We will be back, though, after the Reds' trip to the Emirates to face Arsenal on Thursday night. Until then, if you haven't done already, please do give us a follow wherever you get your podcasts to make sure you don't miss an episode when they drop. Thanks for being with us. Bye-bye for now.